classic novel of rural life and love, far from the madding crowd.
I say we get a bright day, then down comes a snapper late at night.
Morning, neighbours.
Morning.
There ain't working for no one on a morning like this.
Now we have somewhere welcoming to escape to, most.
Gabe Oak be out on the hill still.
Well, so a shepherd should be.
You'll all take a drink then, neighbours.
All right.
Your shepherd Oak's a good worker, ain't he?
Well, I'd say so, as we know him.
He may be as much deceived in the whitest shirted man as in the raggedest tramp upon the turnpike.
What's your meaning, Henry Frey?
Oh, there's more history there than folk might know to look at him.
Is that so?
So I heard.
Well, tell on, boy. There's an hour or more, listen clear.
Well, how Gabriel Oak come to Weatherbury is a story itself.
Turnpike ahead, miss.
What's the toll?
It'll be a penny toll, miss.
Good, because that's all I carry for now.
Oi there! Turnpike! Let us pass!
Afternoon.
Give him the toll there.
Here, sir. A penny.
Tuppence to you.
Tuppence?
Tuppence.
It's never been before.
I ain't seen you on this road before.
Look, I got a young lady with her worldly goods here, and the light's beginning to go.
Newlyweds, is it?
Ha! She's not my young lady. We've come from Weatherbury. We don't have tuppence at the toll there.
Tuppence, or you don't pass.
I've offered a penny.
Look, that's mistress's niece who had them fields yonder.
Tuppence.
One penny is quite enough.
She won't pay any more.
Very well. Then mistress's niece can't pass.
And for such a measly matter.
Tuppence ain't measly. And that gate ain't opening.
Here, turnpike. Let the young lady pass. There's your money.
Ah, well, here is handsome. What do you say now?
George, quiet down.
I say tuppence is tuppence. The gate is open.
You can take her on now, boy.
Yes, drive on. We'll waste no more time here.
Make your living, neighbour Oak. Gotta make your living.
Aye.
Not a word of thanks you got.
No.
That's a handsome enough maid.
Aye. Though she has her faults.
That I'd believe, farmer.
And the greatest of them all is what it always is.
Meanness.
Vanity, I reckon. I saw her with her looking glass there on top of the wagon. We'll be seeing you turnpike. Come on, Judge. George! Boyd! And the young dog too! There's our lamb coming. Right. Come on, girl. The lamb needs a hand. Stay away there. Stay away. George! Come, boy! Keep the flock away there. Good dog. There we are. There we go. Hello.
So want to sleep, Aunt. Now she's boring. You'll get your rest. That calf were a long time coming. But look, Daisy's took to her now, so we may take our leave. Wish we were rich enough to pay a man to do these things. Well, as we are not, Bathsheba, we must do them ourselves. You must help me if you stay here. Oh, I shall stay, and I shall help. At least till the cow is dry again. Oh no! My hat! I went over the hedge in the wind. Never mind. You'll find it in the daylight. What is that music, Aunt? Oh, it will be my neighbour, Farmer Oak. Fancies himself musical. Now, we best send for some oatmeal. A new calf needs a cow to be feeding well.
I'll ride over for it to the mill in the morning.
Well, there ain't no side saddle.
Well, I can ride just as well without.
Well, then you best make sure you're not seen.
When the sweet springtide it falls.
Here, miss.
Oh.
Miss, found an art in the edge here.
It is mine.
Are you other?
Thank you. It flew away last night.
1 o'clock this morning.
Well, it was. How did you know?
I was out here, went to lambing. There's much to keep an eye on.
You are a farmer oak, are you not?
Oh, thereabouts. I'm lately come to this place.
A large farm?
No, not large. About 100 acre. Huh. And your name is?
You can inquire at my aunt's. Oh,
mine is Gabriel.
And mine isn't.
Oh, well. I never was very quick with my words, miss.
I wanted my hat this morning. I had to ride to Toonal Mill.
Yes, you had.
How do you know?
Well, I saw you.
Where?
Here, going through the plantation and all up over past the chalk pit cliffs on yonder hill. In a style all your own. George! Here! Bide! George! Anyways, I... Oh, well...
So, then a few days later, this is...
Good afternoon, Farmer.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Hurst. Will you tell your niece that somebody would be glad to speak to her?
She's out, Mr. Oak. Will you come in?
Thank you. George, right there. You see, I've brought a lamb for the young lady. I don't know her name quite.
Her name's Bathsheba. Bathsheba Everdeen.
Ah, well... I thought she might like a lamb to rear. Girls do, as a rule.
She might. Though she's only a visitor here. If you wait a minute, she'll be in.
Yes, I'll wait.
A lamb can bide in the cat's bed for a moment.
The lamb isn't really the business I came about, Mrs. Hurst.
No?
No, I was going to ask your niece if she would like to be married.
Were you indeed?
Because if she would, I should be... very glad to marry her. Do you know if she's got any other young man hanging about her at all?
Oh, yes. She has, bless you. You see, Farmer Oak, she's so good-looking. And an excellent scholar. Besides, she was going to be a governess once, you know. Only she was too wild. But, Lord, she must have a dozen young men.
That's unfortunate. I'm just an everyday sort of man, and my only chance was being the first comer. Well, there's no use in my waiting, for that was all I came about. I'll take myself off home along, Mrs. Hurst.
I'm sorry.
I shall leave the lamb, shall I?
Oh, yes. We can look after the lamb. She'll be glad to have him.
Come on, George. Afternoon to you, Mrs. Hurst.
Afternoon, Mr. Oak.
wonderful to see you, miss.
Yes, I know that, but I didn't know that you'd come to ask for my hand, or I'd have come in from the garden instantly.
You were only in the garden?
Yes. I ran after you to say that my aunt made a mistake in sending you away from courting me.
Oh. Well, wait now. Wait now while you find your breath.
It was quite a mistake.
Well, you were scarce to know.
Aunt telling you that I had a young man already. I haven't a sweetheart at all, and I never had one. And I thought that it was such a pity to send you away thinking I had several.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, I have a nice, snug little farm.
Yes, you have.
A man has advanced me money to begin with, but it'll soon be paid off. When we're married, I'm quite sure I can work twice as hard as I do now.
Why, Farmer Oak, I never said I was going to marry you.
Oh.
No.
Well, that's a tale, running after someone to say you aren't going to marry him.
If I'd wanted you, I shouldn't have run after you. It would have been the forwardest thing. Indeed, I hadn't time to think about marrying you before starting, for you'd have been gone over the hill.
I see.
There'd be no point.
You could think a minute or two now, Miss Everdeen?
Perhaps. If I can think out of doors. My mind spreads away so.
You can but try.
But give me a little time then.
I can make you happy. I've the flock. 200 sheep in all. 2 dogs. One's steady, one's a young'un, bit jittery, but he's coming through. You shall have a piano in a year or two. Farmers' wives are getting to have pianos now, and I'll practice up the flute right well with you in the evenings.
I'd like that.
One of those little £10 gigs for market. Nice flowers and birds, cocks and hens, I mean, because they can be useful. And we'd put the wedding in the newspaper and the babies in the berths.
Wait, and don't be improper.
Very well.
George.
No. It is no use. I don't want to marry you.
Oh. Why?
Because I don't love you.
I may be content to be liked.
Oh, Mr. Roke, you'd come to despise me.
No.
You would, Mr. Roke.
No. I believe I love you more than common. I shall do one thing in this life, one thing certain, that is, love you, and long for you, and keep wanting you till I die.
Oh.
Tis serious, miss. Tis love.
Now I wish I hadn't run after you.
Would you have run with better news?
Oh, it wouldn't do, Mr. Oak. I've hardly a penny in the world. I'm staying with my aunt for bare sustenance.
We would be suited, I believe.
No, I'm too independent, and I'm better educated than you. And I don't love you. Not a bit. You're a farmer just beginning and ought to marry a woman with money who could stock her larger farm than you have now.
Well, truth to tell, I've been thinking the same thing myself.
Then why ever did you come and disturb me?
I can't just do what would be wise, can I? You speak like a lady, and your uncle at Weatherby is, I've heard, a much larger farmer than I shall
Please,
ever be.
Don't make mention of him. He's very ill.
I'm sorry. Well, may I call in the evening, or will you walk along with me on Sundays?
No. No, I don't love you, so it would be ridiculous.
Very well. Then I'll ask you no more. George, come your ways. There's no business for us here.
It would be quite ridiculous.
Bathsheba! Bathsheba!
Coming, Aunt!
Well, I never did. She'd come across E back then.
She had. Tis her history goes back a 12-month and more.
Well, Gabe Oak were a man of standing then.
Oh, he were, as I heard it. Or than he were, leastways.
Neighbour Oak, that you in the night?
Evening, Turnpike.
Where be thee going to?
Oh, I'm headed home for my bed. You?
Oh, just taking a turn. Lambing done?
Early lambing. I got plenty more ready to drop come spring. But I shall keep warm indoors of a night for now through Christmas.
I heard about that maid was with your neighbour, Mrs. Hurst.
Who's that then?
A young girl that was here. Haughty type.
I'm not sure I recall, Turnpike.
Oh, just these last weeks. You paid her a toll. Coming with some land, I believe.
Has her now?
And a bit of money.
Oh, it would be ridiculous.
A young woman with money. Aye.
Good luck to her. She can keep my penny. I ought to get him back.
Oh, yep. Good evening, neighbour.
Evening. George! 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 Fake commotion, boy. Hey? I haven't left you dogs long. You've been fed and...
And that brought him to Casterbridge.
Poor soul.
Aye.
Morning, sir.
Morning. Will you take a dog?
You selling a dog, sir?
No. I don't need nothing for him. He's a sheep worrier. I want him shot.
The young one here?
Aye. The old one's biding with me.
Looks an healthy animal. Better give you a shilling for it.
I'm an honest man, and he's a killer.
Well, you want to know he's gone? I can give you the gun.
No. What he's done to me, I can't do to him. That's why I came to your slaughterhouse.
It'll be a penny for the shot.
There you are.
Thank you, sir. Here, boy, take this dog through. I'll deal with him.
I'm in Casterbridge for the iron fair. Where are they gathering?
Up Market Square. You're looking to hire, sir?
Oh, I'm looking for a place myself, a bailiff's. You know anyone who wants one?
No. You'd be best up there and ask.
Thank you. Morning. Taken for a soldier.
Marching out to camp at Melchester. You'll find better bed for to work in the whole county.
That your dog, sir?
Aye, 12 year and loyal as you'd want.
You looking to hire a worker? I'm as loyal as he is, I'll wager.
No, I'm looking for a place myself, a bailiff.
Ah, I took you for a farmer.
One time you'd be right. One time till recent. You know of anyone who wants a bailiff?
No, it's every man for himself, you're.
Bailiff for hire! Bailiff! Sir, are you wanting a bailiff or know of anyone that is?
The shepherds all are after today.
My skill is sheep tending.
I heard you're quite bailiff.
At one time, shepherd was my calling.
And where's your crook, shepherd? Where's your smock from?
Well, last I was farming sheep.
Where do you come in from?
Norcomway.
Whose farm?
My own.
Regiment, attention!
Too good a story to be true.
Tell on, man.
Sir, my farm was my own, but I had a young dog. Not this one here, a young one. He got to worrying the flock, and one night, I lost him.
All of them?
All that hadn't lambed. Back before Christmas, a fence broke, not my fence, mind. The young dog had chased the flock to the corner of a field, and there was a chalk pit below, a cliff. I thought he'd done right.
You lost your flock?
Near enough.
How many?
200 of them. Uninsured.
200?
And your farm?
Aye, and after that, farm too.
No. I'm sorry for your story, but no shepherd that loses a flock will be bailey for me.
Thank God I ain't married.
Last chance for the Queen's shilling. Last chance.
Here, George. Shh.
We don't want no dogs, but we'll take any man who can't find work to feed his own. Farmer.
I'm not ready to enlist.
A handsome fee.
No, shepherd's my calling. Just a way to buy a new smock and crook.
Last chance now. Any last takers for my shilling? Company, by the left. Quick march.
How'd you hear all this then, Addery Frey?
Didn't know. Norcombe Hill's not a world away.
You didn't know Gabe's family yourself, maltster.
Right enough I did, I suppose.
Well, Gabe, we've proven himself a good shepherd here now.
Yeah, needed to. What else was there for he?
Here, shepherd. I like what you play.
Thank you, Mum.
Aye. Is better than that rabble up over there. They should pay you to sit outside the town hall and keep them at bay.
thank you, sir. I only play for my own amusement.
You should go to Shottsford hiring fair tomorrow. You make enough in a day to live well for that day.
How far is Shottsford?
10 miles beyond Weatherbury.
And how far is that?
Weatherbury? 5 or 6 miles.
Mm. Play on, shepherd. Play us home to our beds.
So it'd be fate brought him here, then?
Well, he was set to wander in the road for Shottsford, that's for truth.
As he's walking, he sees a glow over this way. That's how he told it me. And us all running like ants on a heap.
Fire! Oh, fire!
Fire! Fire's a bad servant, master! Laventaw, come on! And John Coggan!
Ben!
Come on all!
Where be the start of it?
You don't need much to it. It's a straw rick and far gone alight already.
See you from the road.
Oh, what'll he do? Cash to the others? And the barn?
If we ain't brought it low, there's no telling.
Oh, I got another thing to do.
We want some water.
Water!
Buckets of water!
That won't cease it.
Then what?
We need hands! Tearing the rick, Dave!
Stop the draft under the rick! That's what's needed! Get a tarpaulin, quick!
Billy! Lavin, come on! In by the barn there!
Come on, boys! Give us out now!
What was that, though? We need water!
There! Pull it over and hang it across! Stop the air passing under! That'll slow him! You two men! Hold on the back there!
Right.
Now you.
I'll have a name.
That'll be learnt another day. Stand with a bucket and keep that tarp wet. That'll keep the fire down.
A bucket! Now! A bucket of water!
Find a ladder and stout sticks. I shall climb him and knock down the sparks.
Do as the man says. Ladder! Sticks! Water!
He took charge of the fire that night. No mistake.
Oh, yeah. Well, he helped, I'll grant you.
He have a sharp mind, Gabe Oak, and a quick one.
I was taking the lead quiet-like.
You was, Henry Frey.
Oh, ma'am, 'tis a disaster. We must be strong, Liddy, and I must direct the hands. Do you have something I can hold over my face? A scarf, there. Miss. Who is in charge at such a time?
It would be the bailiff, ma'am. But we're without one, the changes being so recent.
We're working, ma'am, to a man, and we are getting it under our control.
John, who is that on the rick?
The shepherd. We don't know, ma'am.
It's a crook as he's using to beat the fire down.
Truth tell, it's that man who stopped the fire spreading.
Is he not of our farm?
Not of ours, ma'am.
Did you think the barn is safe?
Safe now. If the rick had gone, he'd have followed. But that shepherd's done most good. Sitting on top and whizzing his arms about.
He looks like a windmill up there.
It's worse than the fire now, I'm thinking.
Go to him as he comes down and say the farmer wishes to thank him for the great service he has done.
I will, ma'am.
Shepherd!
Keep that tarp wet, boys. We stopped it in his tracks, I think.
Shepherd! Farmer wants a word.
All right. Where is he?
This isn't a master. This is a mistress, shepherd.
Aye. And a rich one lately come here.
Was her in charge when these ricks was built?
No.
Taking her uncle's farm on. He died sudden-like. They say she had business in every bank in Casterbridge. No, shepherd.
Mind your tongue in front of a stranger, Henry Free. That's her. Back there with a boonie.
Well, I'd advise that these have been built too close.
Need some water here for a man.
Here! Billy! Pass the shepherd that bucket.
Here!
Thank you. I'll speak to your lady there. Is she the one with her face covered?
She's the one who has a feeling for her appearance.
Mom, I would say to you that these ricks are too close to one another. Well, I only stopped by chance to help, and I have helped. I wanted to ask, by further chance, do you happen to be wanting or needing a shepherd, Mom? Do you happen to want a shepherd, Mom?
Yes. I do want a shepherd.
Then he's the very man.
Oi, that he is!
Oh, the man, truly.
Then will you speak to him?
Ma'am.
Men, you shall take a little refreshment after this work. But will you come to the house?
We could knock in a bit and drop a good deal freer, miss, if so be you'd send it to Warren's Moat House in the village.
Very well. Liddy, come now.
Well, here's the thing.
You've done a great favour, shepherd. And I hope employment there would be a fitting reward.
Says reward enough, for sure. I was passing on my way to Shotswood Fair for work.
You're the man then, shepherd. Huh. And where to hire they?
Your mistress seems to say so.
And 'tis Miss Everdeen who rules our lives now.
Fortune's wheels turned and no mistake.
Oi, so it's Providence that brought you here tonight, I'd say. What be your name, shepherd?
Oak. Gabriel Oak.
Well, you'll find this a task to work here, but if you're willing...
I am indeed.
All settled then.
Can you find me a lodging?
Follow on down to Weatherbury Village until you come to Warren's Moat House, but you've all gone. I dare say someone will tell you at a place. I've got to clear up first, but I'll join you there.
'Tis a true history. Yeah. That's where he come to encounter us and get his position.
Your mistress have done him a favour then.
'Twere the same night Fanny Robin were miss, weren't it?
Aye. One departed and one arrived.
George Bide. Hello? Good night to you.
Good night, sir.
I'll thank you to tell me if I'm on the way for Warren's Malt House.
Yes, it's at the bottom of the hill.
Thank you. 'Tis late, you know.
Yes. Do you know how long they keep open the Buck's Head Inn?
I don't know where the Buck's Head is.
Oh, you know, a Weatherbury man.
I'm the new shepherd. Just arrived. Miss, you have a bundle.
Yes. Please, you won't say anything in the parish about having seen me here, will you? Not for a day or two.
I won't, no.
Would you mind going on and leaving me? I wish not to draw attention.
You ought to at least have a cloak on such a cold night. You accept this trifle from me?
A shilling.
That's all I have to spare.
Yes. Thank you.
You start like a young lamb.
Please, let your having seen me here be a secret.
Very well.
Good night, and thank you.
Good night, young lady.
This is a new shepherd, I believe.
Come in, shepherd. Sure, you be welcome.
Aye.
We don't know your name.
Gabriel Oak. That's my name, neighbours.
He's never Gabe Oak's grandson over at Norcombe.
My father and grandfather were of the name of Gabriel.
Knowed your grandfather, I did, for years and years. And your father, too, when he was a child. My boy Billy there, no, he too.
Nope. His cousin Andrew. He would have known
I can't mind an Andrew as being a man in the place when I was quite a child.
Come, shepherd, and drink. Sydney Town. Tis Cape and Swallow with us. Now take out the guard. Forgive me, Billy. Seemed as warm.
Thank you.
Bye. Tis ready, I think.
A clean cup for the shepherd.
No. I never fuss about dirt in its pure state.
You're a right sensible man, then.
True. It can't be gainsaid.
Drink, Henry Fay. Drink.
That's what I be doing.
Lab and tall. Come, there's plenty in the barrel.
That I will. 'Tis my only doctor.
Well, I needs must ask, what sort of place is this to live at, and what sort of mistress is she to work under?
We know her little as yet.
Only showed herself a few days ago.
Her uncle were took bad, and the doctor was called, with his worldwide skill, but couldn't save him.
And now she's going to keep the farm, so she says.
Now, her uncle was a very fair sort of a man. It's a good family to be under.
What of her parents?
Townsfolk. They didn't live here.
He wasn't much to look at, but she was a lovely woman.
He told once he used to light the candle three times a night to look at her.
Well, he was of a higher circle of life.
Gentleman tailor, really. Worth scores of pounds. Became a very celebrated bankrupt two or three times.
Failed for heaps of money.
Her daughter was not at all pretty as a child. Never thought she'd have grown up such a handsome body as she is.
It is to be hoped her temper's as good as her face.
John Corbett.
Evening to every one of you. Thanks be to our deliverance by Shepherd O'Care.
Come drink and join the reflection.
Dear Shepherd, you carrying a flute there in your smock pocket, surely I see you playing at Casterbridge Eyrie.
You did. We've been in great trouble, neighbours, and driven to it. I used not to be so poor as I am now.
Come, master. Raises a chew.
Aye. Such as I can do, you shall have and welcome, neighbours.
Aye, as he played, I knowed thee to be the same man as I seed in Casterbridge, for your mouth were all scrimped up and eyes staring like a strangled man.
Not that you're not a very handsome man, Shepherd.
That he be.
Neighbours, I be looking for a lodging. Is there any man can help me out?
I dare say, Shepherd, we can find you some.
Good night to you all.
Caney.
Bad night too.
What news, Caney Ball?
I've just come from the farm. Fanny Robin, Miss Everdeen's youngest servant, her can't be found. They've been wanting to lock up doors, but she didn't come in, and they know she's been low in spirits these last few days.
Oh, 'tis burned with the wreck.
No,
'tis drowned.
'Tis her father's razor.
Didn't you, Janae, boys?
Well, if it ain't accident, she'll not want to be found. If she don't want to be, well, then she won't.
Marianne saw Fanny go out of the house in only her indoor working gown.
She did, ma'am. That's what worried her. She knew about the soldier in Casterbridge that Fanny had been...
courting?
That's what Marianne says.
Well, Billy Smallbury has gone asking after her.
There's nothing to be done till his return.
I'm quite tempted to heave this confusion of paper and stores all out of an upstairs window and have done with it.
You're a new broom, ma'am.
Well, I hope not one that has swept Fanny Robbins out of her employ. Go to the window, Liddy.
Lord, 'tis a gentleman. I see the top of his hat.
Be quiet. Well, why doesn't Mrs. Coggan go to the door? Liddy, you must.
I'm covered in dust.
Well, as am I. I can't see anyone in this state.
Oh, good morning. Is Miss Everdeen at home?
Miss is dusting bottles, sir, and is quite an object. I can't see you just now.
Very well. All I wanted to ask was if anything had been heard of Fanny Robin.
Nothing, sir, but we may know tonight. Billy Smallbury has gone to Casterbridge where a young man lived, as is supposed.
Very well. Good day.
Good day, sir. He be gone, ma'am!
Who's Mr. Baldwood, Liddy?
Oh, he's gentleman farmer down at Little Weatherbury. And he's not married.
How old is he?
40, I should say. Very handsome, rather stern-looking, and rich.
I'm always in some unfortunate plight or other. Why should he inquire about Fanny?
He's been her benefactor. He took her and put her at school and got her a place here with your uncle. He's a very kind man that way, but Lord...
What, Liddy?
Oh, never was there such an hopeless man for a woman.
Well, then he's been courted.
Oh, my, all the girls for miles around have tried him. Jane Perkins, she worked at him like a slave. The two Miss Taylors and all. Did anybody ever want to marry you, Miss? Lots of them, I dare say.
My man wanted to once.
Oh, how nice that must be. And you wouldn't have him?
Oh, he wasn't. Quite good enough for me.
Oh, how nice to be able to say that when most of us are glad to say thank you. Did you love him, Miss?
No. I rather liked him.
Do you still?
Of course not. Now, what footsteps do I hear?
Oh, here they be. The Philistines are upon us.
Well, go down and keep them in the kitchen until I'm dressed. Then show them into the hall.
Yes, Miss. All right, don't start demanding. Now, before I begin, men, I have two matters to speak of. The first is that I've resolved to have no bailiff at all, but to manage everything with my own head and hands. On the second, we wait on Billy Smallbury's return for news of Fanny Robin, and until then there is no more to be done. Many of you have searched, I know, and I'm grateful. Now to business. Wages and duties. Joseph Poorgrass?
Ma'am?
What do you do on the farm?
Carting all year, shoots rooks and sparrows at seed time, helps at pig killing, sir. Miss?
And how much to you?
Please, 9 and 9 pence, sir. Ma'am, I mean, miss.
Here are 5 shillings in addition as a present.
Oh.
As I'm a newcomer.
Thank you.
Now, Laban Toll. You are a stockman, yes?
Ma'am.
You'll stay on working for me?
For you or anybody else pays me well, ma'am.
There. 15 shillings and 9 pence.
Ma'am.
Henry Frey?
Tis Henry, ma'am.
Not as it's written?
As it spoke, ma'am.
You plough?
Yes, ma'am.
Your money and gift.
Ma'am.
Jan Coggan?
Yes, ma'am.
General labourer?
Yes, ma'am.
9 and 9 pence mm-hmm. and a gift.
Thank you, ma'am.
Ma'am, we have the workers who do the piecework. They'll be attending in a while.
Yes. Now we await Billy and welcome our new shepherd.
Morning, ma'am.
Morning. Do you have all that you need, Shepherd Oak?
I have an old dog, George, who will serve me for now. But I want a man and a new dog at some time soon.
Very well. Who can he have, men?
Young Cain Ball is a very good lad, ma'am.
Cain?
His mother made a mistake at christening. Couldn't be scrubbed out.
Oh, we soften it down as much as we can. But calls him Cainy.
Very well. Cainy Ball to be under-shepherd. And you quite understand your duties, Mr. Oak?
Quite well, I thank you, ma'am. And if I don't, I'll inquire.
Oh, Billy, what's the news?
Well, ma'am, in round numbers, 'tis thought she've run away with the soldiers. The 11th Dragoons be gone away from Casterbridge.
I saw him go out to Melchester.
And I said to myself, Fanny's young man were one of that regiment.
Right, one of you go to Farmer Baldwood and let him know.
I can do that. Billy be drenched by the weather already.
Oh. Very well, thank you, Shepherd Oak. We shall settle your wages and Billy's when the men are afield. Now, you have a mistress instead of a master. But I shall be up before you are awake. I shall be afield before you are up. And I shall have breakfasted before you are afield. In short, I shall astonish you all. Sergeant Troy?
Yes, what girl are you?
Oh, Frank, don't you know me?
Fanny?
Yes, your wife.
Fanny, I didn't expect you tonight. I didn't think you'd come at all.
You said I was to come.
I said that you might.
I asked which is your window. You're glad to see me, aren't you, Frank?
Of course.
Can you come to me?
My dear Fan, no. The bugle's sounded, the barrack gates are closed, and I've no leave. How'd you get here from Weatherbury?
Well, I walked some of the way. The rest by carriers. Frank, when will it be?
What?
That you promised.
I don't quite recollect.
Don't speak like that. It weighs me to the earth. When shall we be married, Frank?
Oh, I see. Well, you should have to get your proper clothes.
I have money. Will it be bands or license?
Bands, I should think.
Yes. Don't think me forward, will you? For I love you so, and You said lots of times you'd marry me.
Don't cry now, it is foolish. If I said so, of course I will.
Will you have permission from the officers?
Not yet.
Well, you said you almost had it before you left Casterbridge.
You're coming so unexpected, I've not yet asked.
It was wrong of me.
Oh, no.
Will you come and see me tomorrow? At Mrs. Twill's in North Street. Don't like to come to the barracks. There are bad women about and think me one.
Right so. I'll be there, my dear. Good night.
Good night, Frank. Good night.
And how's mistress going along without a bailey, then?
Never in all my creeping up. I deserve that place.
Liddy? Oh, Liddy, where have you been?
I was just looking at the market stalls, miss.
Come along, you said you were only a moment away for food. I'm conducting business in the market hall and I need you beside me.
Just only a moment. And I bought you some toffee.
And did you have an eye for the lace store?
Oh, miss, some lovely, lovely things there. Some hems and net linings.
Well, we may look later, but at the moment we have to conclude our business and to be businesslike about it.
Miss, some toffee?
Oh, not until I finish with this farmer who is apt to buy from me. No, I can't accept threepence.
Well, you ain't getting four.
In here, I shall find four.
Not from me, you won't.
Is he giving you trouble, Emma? My dear, I shouldn't deal with thee. Pass me a pour of your corn. Well, that's good seed, I reckon.
You are a farmer of some discernment, sir.
Are you asking for, then?
Should we get in five? You carry on.
Pretty maid might deserve it.
I am a farmer. I have seed corn to sell. This gentleman is in a buying mood.
I think I see what I'm looking for here.
Five?
And now then, young lady.
Well, this is grain of quality and long keeping and high reaping.
Pour it, take me.
Done.
I should shake your hand, but mine's the hand of a working man.
I'll shake the hand that does the deal. Thank you. I have the sacks in my cart. I shall look for a porter.
I'll be over directly.
Her prevailed, Dan.
T'was a deal. And I don't mind that it had a shapely cellar to leaven it a little.
You're sold a novelty.
That is my eye any different to any man's in this market. It's a pity she's headstrong, but she lightens up the old place.
Here, Boldwood. See this man here? Sold his own shirt back by that young woman.
Michael Hodges, I'm fetching a heifer and I want a good one, and you're a man who's known for his husbandry.
That is true. Well, I have an animal you might be interested in.
No man less likely to have his head turned by a woman.
It was a success today, I think, miss.
Yes, I shan't mind it again in that market.
This morning was as bad as getting married.
Eyes everywhere.
Oh, men be such a terrible class of society to look at a body.
Though, I noticed there was one man who didn't waste his time. Very good-looking man, 40s. He never cast a glance at me. Who might that be?
I don't know. They do come in from out over.
Well, can't you guess at all?
No. Not that it matters if he took no notice of you. Miss, there's a gig coming past.
Good afternoon, Jim.
Liddy, that's him, the very same man.
Well, that's Mr. Boldworth, the caller you couldn't see t'other morning.
Well, and look, he's cast not a glance at us again.
Well, he's a man known for his dedication to his living. 'Tis said he was jilted as a young man.
Oh, people always say that. I expect it's just his nature.
Oh, I expect so, miss.
It's romantic, though, to think he may have been cruelly served. I shouldn't wonder if it weren't a little of both, cruelly used and a little reserved.
I should think that, miss.
Yeah, that's most likely.
Yes, miss. Miss, you play very well.
No, Liddy. But it is a good distraction, a good pastime. An accomplishment one on is having to learn so many new ways to be. What are you doing, Liddy?
Reading.
The Bible?
I am scriptural, miss, from time to time.
I see.
Did you ever find out, miss, who you were going to marry by means of the Bible and the key?
Oh, don't be so foolish, Liddy, as if such things could be.
Some believe in it, some don't. I do.
I don't. What do you have there?
The front door key. You lay it on the verses from Ruth.
Well, which verses?
Here, where the marks are.
And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go
Oh, very well, let's try it.
Oh, I wish it wasn't Sunday. Perhaps 'tis wrong.
What's right weekdays is right Sundays.
Then hold the key steady and dangle it over the book. Think of a man, and if it moves, it means...
Shh, be silent, Liddy.
I think you're blushing, miss.
I'm not, Liddy, I'm not.
Who did you try?
I shall not tell you.
Did you, notice Mr. Bulwood in church this morning, miss?
No, indeed.
His pew is exactly opposite yours. Didn't turn his head to look at you once all the service.
Why should he? Didn't ask him to.
Oh, no, but everybody else was noticing you, and it was odd that he didn't. There, 'tis like him. Rich and gentlemanly, what does he care?
Oh, dear, I nearly forgot the valentine I bought yesterday.
Who for, miss? Farmer Bulwood?
No, Liddy. It is only for little Teddy Coggan.
Oh.
This will be a pretty surprise for him. Now bring me my writing materials and I'll direct it at once. Now, what shall I write?
Roses are red, violets are blue, carnations sweet, and so are you.
Yes, that suits itself to a little chubby-faced child like him. Teddy can read, can't he?
He can, miss. 'Twould be fun to send it to stupid old Bulwood, though. How he'd wonder.
No, I wouldn't do that.
He'd worry to death, puzzling over it, thinking who he'd seen and not seen, seen and not noticed.
You know, I don't think I particularly care to send it to Teddy. He is rather a naughty child sometimes.
He is.
Well, let's toss a coin, as men do. So heads Bulwood, tails Teddy. Oh, no, we shouldn't toss money on a Sunday.
Oh. Toss this hymn book, then. Uh-huh. There can't be no sinfulness in that, miss.
Very well. So open Bulwood, shut Teddy. No, it's more likely to fall open. Open Teddy, shut Bulwood.
Shut?
No. Light a candle, Liddy. Let's see what seal we might use.
Unicorn's head?
No, there's nothing in that.
Two doves.
No, it ought to be something extraordinary. Here's one with a motto. I can't read it, but we'll try it, and if it doesn't do, we'll have another. Capital. That had upset the solemnity of a parson.
What does it say, miss?
Look.
Marry me.
Farmer Bulwood, sir!
Marry me.
Farmer Bulwood!
Huh? Oh, good morning.
I have a letter.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, no, I don't think it's for you, sir. I take it to be for your Shetland.
Mm-hmm. My apologies. I've myself had some posts today. No, it's not mine, but Miss Everdeen's shepherd. You'd better take it on to him and say I opened it by mistake.
Very well, sir.
His name is Gabriel Oak. Wait. I'll take the letter to him myself. I have other reasons to speak with him.
Very well, sir.
A headstrong maid. That's what she is. Won't listen to no advice at all.
I do wonder what a farmer woman can want with a harpsichord or a piano or whatever. Liddy says she got a new one.
It seems her uncle's things weren't good enough for her. There's heavy chairs for the stout and weak and wiry ones for the slender.
Pictures.
And long horse hair settles.
Shepherd Oak.
Neighbours. You got room for a few newborn lambs?
Aye, Shepherd. Now you settle them by the fire there.
Kane, you bring your own round to the fire here.
Yes, Shepherd.
How's lambing this year?
Oh, 'tis trying. We've been wet through twice a day, either in snow or rain, this last fortnight.
Good few twins, I hear.
Too many by off. 'Tis very queer lambing this year. Run back to the ewes, Caney. I'll follow you soon.
Yes, Shepherd.
I'm looking for your place here, maltster. I don't know what I should do this keen weather.
Drink with us for a while.
Oh,
you don't want to be out in that hill unless you need be.
'Tis true. I can't leave Caney to his own devices long. Thank you.
Maybe talking now of the mistress's strange doings.
What have you been saying about her?
Oh, these have been pulling her over the coals for pride and vanity, but I say let her have rope enough.
You'll not have been speaking against her, Joseph Poorgrass?
Not a word. It's a joyful thing she's not worse, is all. Henry just
said... I wouldn't harm a worm, not one underground worm.
Look here. First man in the parish, are you prophesying bad of our mistress?
No, don't take on so, Shepherd.
We hear you be an extraordinary good and clever man, Shepherd. 'Tis a great thing to be clever, I'm sure. We wish we were, don't we, neighbours?
Oh, that we do, sure.
Who's been telling you I'm clever?
'Tis blowed about from pillar to post quite common. We hear you can tell the time as well by the stars as the sun and moon, Shepherd.
Aye.
And you can make sundials and print folks' names upon their wagons almost like copperplate.
An excellent fine thing for you to be such a clever man, Shepherd. I'm sure Mrs. ought to have made ye Bailey.
Miss Evelyn has a right to choose her own.
You've a skill there with a lambs and no mistake.
And she don't even let ye have the skins of the dead uns, I hear.
I don't want them.
You are badly used, Shepherd. I think she took against thee.
Not at all. She have her own tastes and practices.
Ah, Farmer Boldwood.
Good morning, neighbours.
Morning.
Morning, Mr. Boldwood.
Ah, Oak. I met the mail cart 10 minutes since, and a letter was put into my hand which I opened without reading the address. I believe it is yours. You must excuse the accident, please.
No, not a bit of difference, Mr. Boldwood.
Drop a drink, Farmer.
No, thank you. Just this errand to run. I saw you on the hill and followed you down here.
Have you read it through, Mr. Boldwood?
No.
Then you better do so. It's from Fanny Robin.
You encountered her, Oak?
By chance, on the road, and not knowing who she was. She thanks me for some money I lent her and says her and her new husband will repay me.
Fanny have a husband?
When she is married, she says.
Yes, well, I see she gives no address.
What sort of man is this, Sergeant? Troy?
I'm afraid not one to build much hope upon. Though he's a clever fellow and up to everything.
We know Frank Troy well for a Weatherbury man. His mother was a French governess.
Yes, and it seems that a secret attachment existed between her and the late Lord Severn.
Laugh, Joseph Poorgrass blushing, Mr. Boldwood.
'Tis a story I've heard whispered and won't have no effect.
Still, he might have worked himself into a dignified position of some sort, had he not indulged in the wild freak of enlisting.
Well, many a man considers it, and many a man that does it too.
Yes, I have much doubt if ever Fanny will surprise us in the way she mentions. A silly girl.
Caney, why will you run so fast and lose your breath so?
Another youth twin, Shepherd.
Right then. Shoulder your alarms, Caney, and we'll be off. Good morning, Mr. Boldwood. Thank you, maltster.
Well, I shall walk up over with you. I can carry this lamb.
Thank you, sir.
I was going to ask you, Oak.
Yes, sir.
I thought you might have a look, and not being one of the men of the village, this card. Do you know whose writing this is?
That. That is Miss Everdeen's hand.
Ah. You look aggrieved. The question was perfectly fair, and I was not to know the answer.
Sir.
Shepherd, are you coming along?
I'll be there. You go on, Caney. I have a matter to attend to.
You know, it's always expected that privy inquiries will be made. That's where the fun lies in such things. In Valentine's, I believe, Oak. Is it not?
Indeed. That's the fun of it.
Good. Well, good day, then.
Good day.
Oak? You are new to the farm.
I am.
You know little of Miss Everdeen.
Very little.
But she is considered handsome.
I know not how she is considered, sir.
You would consider her so?
Sir. She is a young woman and a fair one, and she commands attention, sir.
Yes. She commands attention. Certainly. Thank you, Oak. I am, not well versed in these matters.
No, sir. But which one of us is?
Indeed. Good day.
In part one of Far From the Madding Crowd by Thomas Hardy, dramatised by Graham White, Bathsheba was played by Alex Tregear, Gabriel Oak by Sean Dooley, and Boldwood by Toby Jones. Sergeant Troy was Patrick Kennedy, Liddy was Lizzie Watts, and Fanny was Hannah John Carman. The Maltster was played by Robert Blythe, Jan was Joe Sims, Joseph was Sam Alexander, and Henry was Patrick Brennan. Billy was played by Don Gillet, Kane was Harry Livingston, and Bathsheba's aunt was Tracy Wiles. The musicians were Chris Davis and Laurel Swift, and the sound design was by Colin Guthrie. Far From the Madding Crowd was directed by Jessica Drom-Gool.
After the news, Open Book with author Ian Wilson and his book on the life of Josiah Wedgwood, The Potter's Hand. But first we hear from the author of another well-known potter, J.K. Rowling, on her latest publication.
For the first couple of years with the casual vacancy, I had the luxury of thinking to myself, we might never publish it. I'm very, very lucky. It's a very freeing position to be in, to think, I can pay my bills, I can do what I want.
On BBC Radio 4, J.K. Rowling discusses her first novel for adults.
I choose to see Harry's success as a very freeing thing in my life. So, for a couple of years I kept thinking, well, you might not publish it. But in my heart of hearts, I knew I was going to.
J.K. Rowling talks to Mark Lawson on Front Row on Thursday evening at 7:15.